Yes. Oh, I worked. I wrestled all week, and I'm like, I didn't have anything. I didn't get anything. I didn't get anything. And I'm like, I'm about ready to panic. And I'm like, God, what do you want me to teach on? And so it's like, no, it was basically on faith. And I think that's... Okay. All right. Okay, seems like there's something else I need to say, but it just blew my mind. Okay. So Hebrews chapter 11. And so this has helped me because I've kind of, it's made me sit down and write out what is the definition of faith. Okay. And so this is the best I could get. So everybody has their handout. Lesson 4. We're on February the 9th, 2025. If you're listening on the podcast or on the tape. And so we're going to review just real quickly what we've learned so far about faith in the last couple of weeks. So faith is a possession that we have that contains the promises we expect based off of God's word. Now, I think that is the best definition you're going to get because I took that right off of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Okay. Now, if you got one better than that, you can come and talk to me, but I'm going to stick with mine. Because you know why I'm sticking with mine? Because I just based it off of what God said. Okay? So I think I'm on pretty good ground there. But anyway. So we're going to... Abel, Enoch, and Noah, all of them acted on their faith. Okay? So you have the book of James, and he says, faith without works is dead. You can have faith, but unless you act on it, it's not going to be revealed. Let me put it that way. You know, some people may have enough faith just to get them saved, and that stops right there. But you're going to have to build on top of that, you know? And that's why in 2 Peter I talked about those seven things that we need to add to our faith to help our life out. And those seven things are what, class? What was the first one? Virtue. Back in 2 Peter chapter 2, virtue. And then it was knowledge. And then it was temperance. And then it was patience. And then it was godliness. And then it was brotherly kindness. And then it was charity. Add to your faith, basically. And then what I'm going to see today is when we start using the faith that God gives us and acting upon it, then it's going to grow. Okay? So let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. And I'm going to go ahead and read 1 through 16. And we'll back up and see what we can dig out of it. And we're going to go a little farther in what we've done. So again, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And let me stop there for a minute. That does apply for both the lost and the saved. If you have an idea that God doesn't even exist, you're not going to be able to get to God. You're not going to come to God because, number one, you're not going to get there, and God's not going to listen to you anyway. You've got to realize or admit in your own heart that there is a God. Even when a person gets saved, they may not know anything. They hear the gospel, and they have to believe in their mind, there is a God, and I'm going to accept his son. Okay? So I'll just throw that out. So, but without faith, it's impossible to please... Let me back up. But without faith, is it impossible to please him? For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city who hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she had judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and of him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. I'm just going to stop there for right now. So we're going to look at today Abraham and Sarah. And so let's turn over to Genesis 12. We've kind of already got what God says about them in Hebrews chapter 11. But let's go back to Genesis 12. And we kind of looked at this a couple years ago when we looked at some of the patriarchs when we were going through the first part of Genesis. And so, and we studied this with Abraham. And so Genesis chapter 12, let me just read 1 through 8. It says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram," and so a lot of times I'll just call Abraham, Abraham. I won't even go back and use Abram because it's just easier for me to use Abraham. So I thought about going back and changing everything on the handout back to Abram and then Abraham, but you guys get the picture, okay? It says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Now, and let me just throw this out again, because you know my brain works overtime. Was he too old to have kids when they left to start with? I don't know. Just keep that in the back of your mind. "And Abram took Sarah his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their substance that they had gathered and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land into the place of Sychem and to the plain of Morah and the Canaanite." Now, isn't that funny? I would expect it probably should have said Palestinian. But it doesn't say that, does it? It says the Canaanite. Let me go back and look at it. "And the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence into a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and he called upon the name of the Lord." So I'll stop there for a minute. I think I went farther than I needed to. But anyway, you have a handout there. Point number one, Abraham, like Noah, obeyed God. He didn't just believe him, he obeyed him. Okay? And as a good parent, that's what you want your children to do, right? You want them not just to believe what you said, you want them to obey what you said, okay? So Abraham left his country, he left his home, his friends, his double wide trailer, big screen TV, everything. Well, maybe he packed, I don't know, maybe he put that behind the donkey and took off down the road. I don't know, but he left, okay? And so Abraham followed the Lord to Canaan. That's B on your handout, verse 4. So, what did he do? he actually had to move. He had to do something. He had to act on what God told him. And so, then, my point is, I think in your handout you have the word then. After he obeyed God and moved, and then God really started working in his life. Okay? And let me see. Okay, so we're already in chapter 12 of Genesis. So then you go, okay, Bob, so show me that. Well, let's back up just a little bit. And it says, verse 31 of chapter 11, it says, "And Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran his son's son, and Sarah his daughter-in-law, and his Abram's wife, and they went forth from them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. They came to Haran, and they dwelt there, and the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran." So if you go back and look at about that, God gave Abraham, he told him, you need to leave your family, basically. Leave your family, leave your home, and go where I want you to go. Well, all of a sudden, you see his father and him, they all take off with Lot, but they don't end up in Canaan. They end up in Haran. And so we know that the Lord's talked to Abraham. But in chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "Now the Lord," what's the next word? "Had said." So he had already told him to move. So he had, my point is, I'm trying to show you, God had told him to move, and then he moved. And then now you start seeing God beginning to bless Abraham because he moved. Okay? And I see that over and over in the Bible. There are things you have to do for God to bless you. Okay? And you go, okay, Bob, so explain that to me. Okay? Salvation is one. You have to take an active part in salvation to receive the reward of salvation. Correct? Okay? Turn over in your Bible to Proverbs chapter, I think we're going to go to 1.
Where?
Proverbs chapter 1. I'm just trying to show you a pattern of things I'm seeing in the Bible. You have to act on God's word to be able to receive his promises or his reward. In Proverbs, in fact, you're already at Proverbs 1, but I basically want to look at chapter 2. If your Bible's like mine, both of them are on the same two pages. Proverbs chapter 2 says this, and just bear with me because I'm got a lot I'm trying to go through here. It says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifteth up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest her out as for hid treasures, then," see the word, verse 5, "then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." So you want to know how to get understanding. It's laid out here in Proverbs chapter 2. There are 7 things to get understanding. But you've got to do something to get there. Okay? You got to move. Okay? If you want to learn God's understanding and wisdom, you've got to start putting these things in your life. Okay? 7 things you've got to get understanding. You've got to receive God's word. You've got to hide his commandments. You've got to incline thine ear, apply thine heart, criest after knowledge, pray for it, seeketh her as silver, search her like treasure, then God will give you the rest of this list here. So God wants us to partake in what he tells us to do, and when we do it, God blesses us. It's that simple. Okay? And you see that pattern over and over in the Bible. In the pattern of Abel, we saw, and Enoch, and Noah, and specifically Abraham. When Abraham moves, God begins to bless him. It's that simple. Okay? And so the problem is, most people like to procrastinate. Okay. That's me. Or most people have good intentions, but they don't come through on them. A couple weeks ago, Jason says good intentions don't work. You know, they don't help you out. Both of those will sink your boat. I mean, no pun intended, but, you know, Noah, if he hadn't built the boat, you know, if he would have procrastinated, he wouldn't have got the boat built. He wouldn't obey God in building the boat, and it wouldn't have saved him. It wouldn't have saved his family. So Abraham, like Noah, obeyed God. He had to do something. He had to move. Okay. Point number two. Abraham was rewarded goes in your blank, by the Lord. Okay. Because he moved. Now I thought about Abraham moving and I thought, so why was it specifically that he had to move for God to bless him? Well, number one, God wanted him to move to the land so he could give him the land. But at first I thought, well, it's because of all the idolatry that was in that area of Mesopotamia where Abram lived. Because he lived not far from Babylon, you know, the city, the Tower of Babylon was in his area that he lived at. So God wanted him out of that, which he probably did. But when he moved him to Canaan, there's still people there worshiping idols. So he didn't get out of idol worship from moving. I think God just wanted to see if he would obey him. And then he wanted to go ahead and give him this land. And the thought hit me, I wonder if God had asked anybody else before he did Abraham, and they just told him no. I don't know. Again, my going crazy. You have to obey God for God to bless you or reward you. And again, you're looking at me like, well, yeah, we've learned that when I was 12, Bob. What's the big deal? The problem is we need to keep that in our mind, okay? When we obey God, God's going to reward us, okay? So Abraham was rewarded by the Lord. We saw that in Hebrews 11:6. You got to know who, you got to believe that God is who he is. Obey what he says and he's going to reward you. And then we see that in Genesis 12 that we were at. In fact, let's go back to Genesis. And I don't have time to read the whole story of Abraham, but most of us know the story. So we're just going to go through some of these points. In Genesis 12:2, Abraham was promised a nation. Remember, he says, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I'll bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Okay. And so he gives us some of this, and we see in verse 4, so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he parted from Haran. Now we read that, so the whole point is, God gives him an inclination of what he's going to do, but he still had to do it before really God starts expressing that to him. Now I'll try to explain what I mean by that, but the farther you read from chapter 12 on, you see God going back over that and giving him and fulfilling what he said because he moved and giving him even more. So Abraham was promised a nation. He was promised a great name. His name would be great. Today they sing songs. Father Abraham, right? A lot of Christian children know this song. Father Abraham. Okay. And I imagine a lot of Jewish people probably know it probably better than we do, okay? So Abraham was promised a blessing in 12:3. Abraham was promised that in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. I don't think the Muslims today would think so. But what do you think that blessing is? A relationship with God through his son. That's the blessing. It was going to come through Abraham's seed, okay? So, that's part of that blessing. Point E, Abraham's seed was promised the land in Genesis 12:7. So, let's look at this. Genesis 12:7 says, and the Lord appeared unto Abram. Now, this is after he's moved, right? And said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. So, he says he's going to give it to his seed. Okay? But yet, let's keep going down our list. We'll find out a little later on, it includes himself in that. His seed was promised the land, and then point F says Abraham's seed's land would be an eternal possession. Eternal goes in your blank. And right now there's a big time fight going on over the land in Israel. And it says here, we're going to look at it, chapter 13 and verse 15. Let's look at that. Chapter 13 of Genesis, verse 15. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. There's a big controversy. Who owns the land over there? It's the Palestinians, it's the Jews. Right here we have in Genesis, God gave it to Abraham and to his seed, the Jews, forever. And it's not going to stop when Christ comes back. It's not going to stop when the Messiah comes. It's not going to stop at the rapture. It's not going to stop at when Christ comes back and sets up his kingdom. It's not going to stop all the way through the millennium. It's going to be eternal. There's always going to be a land of Israel with the Jews in it from now on. And it really doesn't take place until Christ comes back and sets it all up. But it will be forever. Okay? G. So let's look at the point G here. Abraham was promised a son in Genesis 15:4. So do you see when, if he hadn't have moved, if Abraham hadn't have moved and went to Canaan, he would not have got any of these promises. And now he says, I'm going to give you a son. Now, what man doesn't want a son? Every man that I know of has wanted a son. Let's put it this way. Every man that has children, he wants a son. Okay? You get what you get and you don't throw a fit. But that's the deal is, we want a son. Okay? Now, you ladies probably want a daughter. Okay? And so... You have issues with both, I know it. But here's the deal. Every man wants a son, okay? We know it. That's not hard to figure out. And so Abraham wanted one. He was 75 when he left. He's in the land. He still doesn't have a son. And God promises him a son in chapter 15 and verses 5. But before we get there, if I have the right verse, 15:4. Let's start in verse 1 of 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceedingly great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed. He goes, Where's the seed? And lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it for him for righteousness. Okay? So that's the closest you're going to get in the Old Testament of someone getting saved. He believed what God said. God counted to him for righteousness. And so Abraham has promised a son. Okay? And not only that we will see that there is a covenant. Covenant goes in your next blank. A covenant was established between God and Abraham. So a covenant is almost like having a contract with someone. It's being in league with somebody. It's making a partnership with someone. And so covenants are a big deal in the Old Testament. They were a big deal with the people that we see that God deals with, but they were a big deal with the people between each other in the Old Testament. So you'll see covenants made between God's people and some of the foreign nations around them. You'll see covenants made between brothers and brothers. But God makes a covenant with Abraham. So it was something that Abraham knew. It wasn't something that he did not know. It was something that was fairly common. It was just basically, hey, let's make a pact and I'm going to make a pact. We're going to put it in writing, and we're going to put it in this book, and it's going to be here forever for everyone to see. Okay? And so God makes a covenant between himself and Abraham in Genesis 15, verses 18. Now, I'm skipping through some of this. The Lord has a sacrifice that takes place with Abraham in the same chapter from about verse 9 all the way down towards where we're getting ready to start. And that was also something that was made when people would do covenants in the Old Testament. They would do a sacrifice. And there's a lot here I don't understand, but study it out. You'll find it. So in this covenant, let me see, where did I say we were going to look at it? Verse 15 and verse 18 says this. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites and the Kenizzites and the Kadmonites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Rephaims and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites. All those people's land he's given to Abraham. Okay? And he says, I'm making a covenant with you. Okay? So in that covenant, we also realize that God, about that same time, that God changed his name back in verse 5 of chapter 50. And there's a lot going on here. Is that the right? Let's see if I'm not. No, let's go to chapter 17. I'm getting behind myself. Chapter 17 of Genesis. So, and when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect, and I will make my covenant. There's that word again. Between me and thee, and I will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shalt thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And then again, he goes down the list. We see these things, these promises that God's going to give to Abraham over and over in these chapters. Okay? I know I'm a little redundant here. And so, but then it seems like it just gets a little more serious, a little more intact all the time. And finally it gets down to the point, I'm making a covenant with you. And in that, Abraham receives a name change. And in that covenant, he goes, I need every male in your household of your family to be circumcised. That was part of the covenant also. Okay? And so, if you read the rest of the story, you'll see that at this point, Abraham has a son, it's Ishmael. And so they are circumcised, along with the rest of the men in his household. But, again, the covenant's not made with Ishmael. The promises aren't given to Ishmael, they're given to someone else. So the covenant was going to pass not to Ishmael, but through Isaac, which he hasn't had yet. So turn over to Genesis 17, and let's look at 19 through 22. And again, I apologize for jumping through everything. Verse 19 of chapter 17 says, and God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him. For an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. He hasn't had him yet. Okay? And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. Okay? And so, and then right after that, we see where Abraham obeys God again, and everyone is circumcised. So, in this covenant, every male was to be circumcised. And then the covenant would be transferred from Abraham to Isaac. Okay. So the whole point in that, all this Abraham gets because why? He obeyed God. Okay. And so I want to look at Sarah for just a few minutes. Her Sarai, on your back page. So Sarah was all, and your blank is rewarded. Rewarded goes in your blank for putting her faith in God's words. Chapter 18, 9 through 15. So let's look at that. Chapter 18 and verses 9 through 15. And we're on the journey here. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself. She didn't even laugh out loud. Did you catch that? She doesn't even laugh out loud. She just laughs within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, because the Lord's the one that's outside the tent talking with Abraham, and two angels with him, if I remember the story right. And so they're saying, hey, where's Sarah at? And she's going to have a son and all that, and she's laughing about this, and they're going to, what are they laughing? And let's see what happens. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Now that's quite a statement right there. And at that time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. Okay. So that's the conversation going on between Abraham and the Lord, and I think it was two of his angels, and Sarah being in the tent. But anyway, when we go back and hold your finger where we are in Genesis and run back to Hebrews again, because this is what we read earlier of Hebrews, and it says, verse 11, it says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Doesn't say anything in her about her laughing. And so my point is, somewhere between when the Lord's speaking to them when they're at the tent and she gets pregnant, she has to put her faith in the Lord in there somewhere. So she received a promise of a son, but she laughed. So I have a question here. Did she doubt also when she was laughing? I mean, for us, I would say, yeah, it'd probably be a doubt. But I don't know. I have to stop and think about that. Or was she just thinking, I'm not doubting it can be done, but it's just kind of laughable. I don't know. You tell me that. But somewhere in there, she exercised her faith. Because having doubt doesn't exercise your faith much, does it? And let's put it this way. Even if she did doubt, she still got her faith back wrapped around Christ or God pretty quick, because it says in Hebrews 11, it was her faith is what helped her to get pregnant. She had to believe that God could do it. So in there somewhere, she got right. Whether, if she wasn't right to start with, she got right before she got pregnant. She exercised her faith and became pregnant. The problem is, I see this, since I'm an equal opportunity, guys, even for you gals, I'll try to point out when the man messes up just as much as the woman, okay? Because, you know, I'm the one that's up here that says, Eve's the one that really messed up, right? Back in Genesis, you know, in the beginning. But so did Adam, okay? I'm not going to just stop with the one. So here we have Sarah is laughing about this, but she's not the only one that laughed. Abraham laughed also. Go back to Genesis 17:17. Look at this. This is the first go-around. It's like there's a couple times that God tells Abraham he's going to have a son, right? And Genesis 17:17 says, let's back up to verse 15. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, I'm probably butchering this name, but Sarah shall her name be, and I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. King of people shall be, kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed. He wasn't any better than she was. And, you know, this reading stories like this and then reading the rest of the story when Abraham goes down to Egypt and he tells him, hey, Sarah is my wife or my daughter or my sister, right? And all the stuff. And you're like, you're sitting there scratching your head like, okay, God, this is your man. And this is you're the one you're blessing. You're going to do the nation with. And this is what he's doing. What a jerk. And I'm like, and he doesn't just do that once. He does it twice. He does it with some Philistines, too. And I'm like, what is the deal with Abraham? And then I look in my life and I'm like, well, even when I do a few things that are right, I'll turn around and do the big bonehead thing. So I'm like, okay, I get it. Okay. So Abraham's a man. Okay. We're all people. We're all sinners still. But she laughed. Sarah laughs. But somewhere in there, she still exercised her faith because she became pregnant past age. And delivered a son in her old age. So turn over to Genesis 21, 1 through 7. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken of him. Remember when he was telling her, he goes, you're going to have a son and it's going to be at this set time. Okay, God gave him the time. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. So she's still thinking it's a laughable deal. But she's trusting God. So she has a sense of humor too. So she's like, she's just laughing because God blessed her with a son. And she said, who would have said unto Abram that Sarah should have given children suck, for I am born him a son of his old age. Okay, so what we're seeing here is we're not really pointing out where Sarah and Abraham sinned against God or where they did what was wrong. We're seeing that when they did obey God, God rewards them. Okay, and so both of them were able to have a child in their old age. Abraham's 100 years old, I think, when Isaac. How old is Sarah?
He is 90.
Okay. Wow.
We should marry women that are 10 years younger than us.
Why's that?
Well, you did, Roger. What are you talking about? You did, Roger. You robbed the cradle back there. I know that.
Is she 10 years younger than you?
No.
But she is a lot younger than you, right? Okay. Okay. So. Both Abraham and Sarah put their faith in God's words and they were rewarded. And when man obeys the Lord, he always comes out the better. And again, this is nothing that's new to anybody. And I threw you a verse, Deuteronomy 30. Verses 19 and 20. This just came to my mind. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verses 19 to 20. This is Moses leading the Jewish people through the desert. They're getting ready to go into the promised land after the 40 years of wandering. And so this particular verse starts off verse 19 and he goes, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may may live. And so we know that the Jewish people didn't always follow that, did they? And it's very simple. God gives us His words and He gives us the instructions that we need to do. And all we need to do is obey Him and do it. And when we do, when we obey the rules of the Bible and just what God wants us to do, our life is, for the most part, really good. And then when we don't, we pay the price. Abraham paid the price every time he disobeyed God. But yet when he obeyed God, we see God just blesses him. And so when man does things his own way, it always creates problems. Okay, so problems. So I've been using Abraham as the example, right? So he did what was right. I don't know how much, because I remember a lady I knew that told me she always did what was right at least 97% of the time. Everybody's rolling. When she said that, I looked at her husband and he's rolling his eyes. And I don't know, I'm not going to tell you who it was. It wasn't anybody in here. But it was somebody a lot of us know. She goes, "I'm right 97% of the time." And I'm like, "Okay." Okay. Well, that other 3%.
But she was wrong.
Yeah, that other 3% must really nail you. Okay. But look at Abraham. When he obeyed God, what did God do for him? I mean, blessed him incredible. When he disobeyed God, what happened? And I'll just tell you. When did he disobey God? When he had Ishmael. What did that cause down through Abraham's life? Did it cause any problems with him?
We're paying
for it today. And so it not only affects our life, it's going to affect the people around us' life. When we don't do what's right in our life, it may affect our kids' life. It's going to affect people we know's life. When we don't witness to our neighbor and they don't accept Christ, it's going to affect their life. So when we just obey God, put Him in our life, and just obey what He says, He gives us life. And when we don't, it causes us major problems. Okay? And I'm like, I know you guys know that. We just need to be told that over and over and over, because it's that simple. It's that simple. So we'll just stop there and we'll call it a day and we'll go from there. Father in heaven, yes?
What was the blank for C?
For C?
Yes.
But she laughed.
Okay.
She laughed.
And the last three are what?
Rewarded, better, and problems. Yeah.
Thank you.
And so people say, okay, I don't learn. The Bible didn't give me any instruction. It didn't tell me what to do. It didn't give me any illustration. Look at Abraham's life. You cannot learn from that. Okay. He had a wife. What's he doing messing around with another woman? So, okay, you guys in here, if you don't believe me, just start messing around with another woman this week, and we'll see what happens. It won't end out good.
Hey,
now, I say that to this group, and you're all like, yeah, that's funny, that's funny. If you guys were all 20 years old, that happens all the time. It's like, guys, you got to realize you need to just trust what God says. And He's going to bless
you. Sarah had told Abram to go to
his. Yes. So they both messed up, didn't they?
Yeah.
It wasn't just Abraham. It was her. And he should have said no. Again, he should have done like Adam and said, no, we're not going to do this. Mm-hmm. But he didn't. So he messed up big time. And he paid the price, let me tell you. And people are still paying the price. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come before you today. We thank you for your word. I just pray that everyone in here, Lord, as we read your word on a daily basis, as we hear your word taught, as we just contemplate on your word, Lord, that we would just do what it says. And Lord, we want to do what it says, Lord, because we love you. And Lord, even though a lot of times we don't just because of our disobedience, I just pray, Lord, that you would just help us to see through all the hard knocks of life that we need to obey you all the time, Lord, because when we do, you reward us, and our life would be so much better, and we would be the example to the people around us that we need to be a good example. And I pray that for us. I pray that our children will look at our lives and see us obeying you, Lord, and they would have a desire to do the same, as well as the people around us. And Lord, I just pray that we would see the blessings that you give us. And I pray that we would continue to get those blessings because we continue to obey you. And in Christ's name we pray. Amen.